Perhaps I'm not alone in this, but my sense is I'm not. This time of year, and actually it began a little before this time of year I get the itch to get out in the dirt. I want to putter around. I want to get things started. And sometimes my wife has to put the brakes on me because I'm so anxious I'm liable to start too early. But you know how it is. You get that. You start looking over the packets of seed, and you think about what you're going to be planting this summer in the flower garden, the vegetable garden, the herb garden, and then you find yourself, oh, by the way, at a garden store, and you start to look through there, begin to think what might be. And if you've been to garden stores, there's also a section usually where they have garden sculpture and little rocks or things that have little words of wisdom etched in them. And there's one that says, things grow with love. Now keep that in your mind and listen to this little vignette. There are two mothers with small children in a supermarket, and they're going through the checkout line, and the first mom saw her little boy pick up a jar of balsamic vinegar out of the cart. And she screamed at him, "Put that jar down! You're going to drop it! You always drop things!" And then she turned to the cashier clerk and she said, "He's so clumsy. He's always dropping something or knocking something over. He's driving me out of my mind." Well, sure enough, it was only a second later, a bottle of balsamic vinegar dropped on the floor and there was a big, dark brown puddle. And there were angry words, there was a spanking and the wailing of a little boy, and she said, "Now look what you've done! Can't you do anything right?" The second mother had a similar problem. Her young son had picked up a two-pack of light bulbs, and one of them was just about out of the pack. And firmly but decisively, this mother took the package from his hand and said to him, "Here, why don't you hold this loaf of bread? You're such a good helper. I really appreciate your help." And then she turned to the clerk and she said, "He really does like to help. He really is my little helper around the home." Quite a difference, isn't there? And Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Let me ask you, are there certain verses in the Bible that, I don't know, sometimes grab you and they won't let you go? This 12th verse from the 15th chapter of John is such a verse for me. And while it is usually wise to hear the whole context of Scripture, don't take verses out of context, I would put to you that this verse can stand on its own. Love one another as I have loved you. Sometimes when we read the Bible, there's a passage that we've read so many times before, and yet all of a sudden it speaks something new to us. Or perhaps the circumstances in your life have given you a new perspective on a scripture passage that you've read. It helps you deal with that difficulty. And then there are those times when a verse seems to literally jump off the page at you. Maybe there's such a verse for you. That's what happened to me several years ago with this verse. This verse is said during Jesus' farewell conversation with his disciples. "Love one another as I have loved you." Those words challenged me then, they challenge me now. They convict me, those words guide me, they really force me to look at myself as I seek to be his faithful disciple. these words of the one who sent them. Love one another as I have loved you. And there are similar verses, perhaps, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But for me, these particular words from our Lord, said on the final evening he would be with his disciples, are much more powerful for me. Not because of the first part of the sentence, but because of the second part. Love one another as I have loved you. You see, friends, if Jesus had simply said, love one another, that would have been a cinch. Why? And this is key, because it would have let you and me define how to do that. And your definition might not be the same as mine. Love one another. Sure. But maybe I'll put a few parameters around some people. Or maybe I'll have a few litmus tests to see who's allowed in and who's not. In other words, if all Jesus would have said is love one another, then it leaves it up to you and me to decide how to do that. And your definition may be different than mine. No, friends, it's the second half of the sentence that makes all the difference in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The part that says, as I have loved you. Those words are haunting. They are difficult. They are challenging. But they are words from our Lord Jesus Christ to us, and we must deal with them. Now, the logical question perhaps is, well, how did Jesus love? If we're supposed to love like him, how did he love? Well, the gospel accounts are replete with how Jesus loved. Unconditionally, self-sacrificially. He spent time with the rich and the poor alike. He went to dinner parties at Pharisees' houses, people who openly did not like him. He sought out people on the fringes of society. He listened to them. He encouraged them. He offered them hope. He spent time with them. He showed people how life could truly be lived and what a difference it would make. He invited people into new ways of thinking about God. He even forgave those who were killing him. And he stands ready to forgive still. This is my commandment, he said to his disciples, and he says to us, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, he's shown us the model. And now he sends you and me out into the world to love as he loves. And the Apostle Paul fleshes it out a little more in that reading we heard from his letter to the Romans. And think about what Jesus had to work with. Look at that group of disciples. And kind of what they were like before they met Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, what we might call blue-collar guys, maybe a little rough around the edges. Matthew, pretty wealthy businessman, maybe with a few slippery ethics as a tax collector. Nathaniel, he was an elitist philosopher who often stereotyped people. You remember his famous line about, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Thomas, who I am convinced grew up in Missouri. Because he was always saying, show me. Simon, a radical revolutionary, ready at a moment's notice to
Go out after those nasty Romans, often called the zealot. And Judas, the only outsider of the bunch. All the other disciples came from the north, up around Galilee. Judas came from the south. But he must have been pretty good with money because he was the treasurer for the group. Quite a motley crew, isn't it? Just like us. Every person here is unique. You have been shaped by your own family upbringing, the education you've had, the life experiences that you've had, the things you've read along the way. All of those things have helped to shape you who you are right now. And we are very different. But we are united in wanting very much to follow Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together. And you see, therein lies the challenge. He sends us, you and me, into the world to love as He loves. And try to grasp what that means. There are too many people today, and maybe even some Christians, who go out into the world to tear other people down, to berate other people, to gossip about other people, to hold grudges against other people. Jesus talks to his disciples and says, love as I have loved you. That's not what Jesus is calling us to be and do, those kinds of things that we see so often in the world. And when we engage in those kind of actions, when we hold grudges, when we always want to put other people down, then we have forgotten the crucial second half of Jesus' commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And we mock Him if that is our attitude Monday through Saturday. There is no rationalizing on this commandment from our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't pick and choose. He sends us out to love as He loved. Wouldn't it have been so much simpler if Jesus had simply said, love one another? But He didn't. He added five more words that changed the entire dynamic of that sentence and offers up to us some wonderful opportunities to serve in His name. That garden sculpture that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon had it only half right. Things grow with love. Well, so do people. And yes, this is a commandment from our Lord, but I also see it as a wonderful invitation. An invitation to experience what a truly enriching and contented and abundant life can be if we love as He loves. See, the question for you and me is this. What will we do with Jesus' words? It's something to think about, but perhaps more importantly, to do something about. To act upon it. And maybe to make His words our own. It can be exciting. With God's help, may it be so. Let us pray. Loving God, who has loved us so much, help us to take in these five words, make them part of who we are, to love as He has loved us. wherever we go, whomever we meet, and we will have an abundant life, fully satisfied. Amen.